Hi, welcome to Tamiwa Oluyen Podcast. Thanks for downloading, and as you listen, you are guaranteed an encounter with the Word.
So, I made a promise that I was going to share with you the prophecies for the year 2024. And this year is amazingly different. Amazingly different. Before you have me share it for you in various categories. But this year is amazingly different because the Lord just said three things to me. And those three things means a whole lot. And if you've been following my teaching since December last year, I've been infusing some of these words he has shared with me in my teaching. And one of the things that you need to pay attention to is that you ask the Lord to enlighten you and make it much more approachable and clarified in your spirit. So three things he said to me. And it will make more sense when it drops in your spirit and you embrace those words. Of course, we know that the Lord already said that the year 2024 is our year where we are going to experience God's mighty hand. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. So three prophetic words or prophetic statements that he shared with me. He said, this is that year where the mighty hand of God will be initiated on the platform of intimacy. Now, understanding that, I've realized that what many people do with God is privacy, not intimacy. Locking up yourself in a room does not mean you are intimate with Him. Intimacy deals a whole lot with communication. So if all you've been doing is communicating to yourself, is that's why you're not making progress. So he's saying that for you to experience His mighty hand this year, there must be intentional communication with Him. I'm trying to break that down, you understand? So it lies on the platform of what? Intimacy. Number two, it says this is that year where you have to be intentional about putting oppressors and intimidating voice in their place without thinking twice. One of the things that this brings to mind to me is that if you have mercy on the enemy, you will still be oppressed. If you are scared of their noise, then your voice will not be heard. So this is that year whereby to experience God's mighty hand, you have to be intentional. And intentionality comes with boldness. And it's just very alarming that many of us are bold in our dreams, but we are cowards in real life. In your dream, you can throw those swords. But in real life, you're scared. To experience God's mighty hand this year, you have to be intentional about putting oppressor. So the first thing first, you identify the oppressor, identify anything that is intimidating that which God has placed in your heart, and you put a space between them, put them in their space. Then lastly, he said, this is that here where empowerment is the passport to new levels and new grants. So this is that year where you don't just run with information. Get empowered. This is where many people get disappointed, get tired, and get drained. Get empowered this year. Business-wise, spiritual-wise, relationship-wise, financial-wise, get empowered. Anything that will add to that little strength you have, go for it. Anything that will add to that little strength. Look at what the Bible says. He said, if you faint in the days of adversity, what does he say? Your strength is small. Not that you don't have strength, it's small. All your life you've been running with a small strength. That's why your victories have limitations. So this is that year where you do everything to get empowered. How do you get empowered? Fellowship. How do you get empowered? Partnership with the Holy Spirit. A whole bunch of various means to get empowered. So don't joke with empowerment this year. When it comes to business, don't joke with trainings. Don't joke with exposure. Don't joke with certain informations that can move your life to the next level. And if you follow these three, key into these three prophetic statements, you would experience God's mighty hand in the name of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 10. On a Thanksgiving day like this, what I just do is to amplify God's word to us. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, A little touch on verse 1. That in your spiritual work, in your journey this year, one thing you should look out for is, what is the Lord saying? I find too many people running the race of their life with the opinions of men. Now, I'm not saying the opinions of men is entirely wrong, but I'm asking you, on what measure or what ground? You always hear they say experience is the best teacher. I don't believe in that philosophy. I don't believe in that philosophy. Because somebody can just run his life on the radar of what the Lord is saying. And that's just that security that you need for the rest of your life. So some of us have made that mistake, whereby you just go by what somebody is saying. I explained to us in this house some times ago. I said somebody would tell you that he doesn't want to go into ministry because he wants to have that kind of encounter that Bishop David Adeboh had. And I explained that scenario to you. For somebody to say that the Lord dealt with him for 72 hours in a vision, that's to tell you that this guy was a workaholic. And I'm saying guy, not disrespectfully. That this man was a workaholic. And the only way God could deal with him was to put him to sleep for 72 hours. Now, you are not workaholic. You already like sleep. You are not workaholic. Every day you are sleeping. So certain things will not come to you. Certain instructions will not come to you. What is the Lord saying? That's why he says, he said, the word of the Lord came to me, not to your neighbor. Your neighbor's word is not your word, unless you run into crisis. Oh, the Lord said to me, I should sow a seed into pastor. And boom, I got a job. Now, as the Lord said so to you. Because for you, he might not tell you to sow a seed. He might just tell you to change your character. And let me tell you something. A great man of God said to me one time, he said, sometimes he said the word of God will come to you either as correction or caution. And I explained to you, I think previous Sunday, we Christians have a hard time dealing with those two words. We find correction like you are insulting my integrity. Especially when you're trying to correct the room and she looks at you like, no, do you know what you're saying? This happens a whole lot when you enter inside a taxi or something like that, and somebody who has been who has a driving experience of 10 to 15 years, you are trying to correct the person, and the person is asking you, do you have a license? You said, no. Feeling insulted, but you're driving wrong. Your driving is not right. Caution as well. Somebody cannot just deal with caution. Why? Because they just feel that I'm above mistakes. I can't make that error. We're not talking about the error, but we're trying to save you from committing that error. So now we go back to verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Somebody, let's say that again. Say, the word of the Lord came to me. The Lord came to me. Saying, verse 5, let's read it together. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Praise God. The challenge is many of us have been set apart, but we don't want to acknowledge it. That was one of the biggest battles that I had with my parents. When I told them that I was stepping out to go into ministry and do all kinds of things, and as the Lord who laid in my heart, you know, they fought me on several occasions. They said all kinds of things. You know, when parents start comparing you with people. Compared me with my cousin, compared me with this, compared me with that. In fact, the one that hit me at the back was, do you know you are the firstborn? Everybody's destiny is on your head. I said, let everybody's destiny go to sleep. They've scared some of you with that thing, with those things, that you are the firstborn. Everybody's looking up to you. It's a lie. You'll be shocked that those that they say is looking up to you don't even recognize that you exist. But I was intentional. I was bold. I stepped out. I did everything. And when they started seeing one or two manifestations, that was when they sat me down and said, oh, do you know that when you were young, a great man of God prophesied that you'll be a pastor? I said, oh. I said, so why didn't you tell me this thing? At least it would make my life easier. He said, we wanted God to do it by himself. God would not do those things by himself. You have to step out. That's why I said in prophetic statement, you have to be intentional. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's an identity on you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. You already have an appointment and you are busy trying to look for what to do. Somebody say, I've been appointed. Appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Verse 6.
Allah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak because I'm young. Because the people that he is going to approach were people who were more advanced than him, people who have progressed than him. That was one of my biggest fears as well in ministry, because I was like, how do I teach people who have read the Bible before me? I remember when somebody came to me and said he wanted me to, they actually came to me and said they wanted me to cancel them. And I asked them, how old is their marriage? They said 12 years. At that time, I was not even married. Canceling somebody who has done 12 years. I asked myself, I said, what a privilege, what a grace. They said, whatever you say that you tell us to do is what we'll do. I said, me, I have not married. Some of you are in these shoes. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to speak. I don't know what to do. Why? Because I'm young. Not just young, too young. Verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. That's why before you step out, you must be sure of the backing that you have. Stop going about saying you are a Christian, you are a believer. You must have a word. A whole bunch of us have allowed the society to insult Christianity just because of how we live our lives. Are you sure you're a child of God? Are you sure God called you? Are you sure you're a Christian? Why? Because you first realize that somebody just runs out on a velocity of no word. Verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, because fear will set in. Especially when you already have a title, most senior reverend, apostle, prophet, doctor, and they bring somebody who is just having just minute migraine or headache, and they say, lay your hand. You know, somebody came to me one time, this was way back 2015, and the person said to me, he said, Pastor, how do you guys do these things? I said, what? What is that? He said, how do you lay hands on people and they just pass out, like fall? I said, are you intentional about the falling or the impartation? He said, well, the falling is proof that the person was impacted. I said, no, you're wrong. So the person was like, how do I effectively function in ministry? Because I've been laying hands. Have you seen people who lay hands and they'll be forcing you to, they'll start whispering in your ear, fall, fall. I said, you don't force these things. And some people have stepped out of spiritual activities. Why? Because they are yet to see certain manifestations. Say, do not be afraid of them. Place your right hand on your chest and say, I will not be afraid. See, I will not be afraid. Why won't you be afraid? Because he is with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord, not your friend, not your brother, not your sister, not your father, not your mother. Not one strange altar somewhere, not just one strange statement. It says, declares the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord reached out his hand. This is where empowerment comes in. Reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in where? In your mouth. Before you open that mouth, be sure that the Lord has filled it. Otherwise, you bring all kinds of disappointment on your head. Before you open that mouth, even in the place of prayer, I've been in several gardens and they'll tell some people to pray. I can tell when somebody's empty. You've been in kind of meetings like that, where somebody is shy to pray. They say, can you lead us in prayer? You say, let him pray. You see, if you are shy in those things, you are empty. You are empty. I tell you the truth. If you're a husband, you're a wife, and your wife wakes you up, or your husband wakes you up and says, let's pray. You're like, I'm short of words. I'm not composed. Lead us to pray. You are empty. We have a whole bunch of empty Christians. He reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10. See today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. So let me bring to your memory again that the most dangerous ground for a believer is a field where the word of God is underestimated and exchanged for traditions. When you run on a ground where you're underestimating God's word, they don't question God, question where you're standing. Even the scripture talks about it. It said, you have exchanged his words for tradition. You know, it's so pathetic whereby if you try to, I try not to do some of those things, not because I can't function in that, I function perfectly in them, but I try not to do it all the time. Why? Because we live in a society that these things are being abused. Somebody just sees a prophet and believes that God has a word. What is the Lord saying? Then you approach it, sir, look at me. What is the Lord saying concerning me? Then all kinds of things begin to come out. And the truth of the matter is that most people don't want to hear caution or correction. What they want to hear is, the Lord said, by this time tomorrow, what will happen? You'll be in Canada. How? And you don't have passport. These are things people are looking out for. How? What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? You do not have to be on a ground where God's word is underestimated. And listen, God's word to you is gold. Never you value what he has said to you compared with somebody else. Because our instructions can never be the same. He has appointed somebody to uproot. He has appointed another person to tear down. So if your business is tearing down, do not insult somebody who is uprooting. If he has appointed you to destroy, do not say anything against somebody who is to overthrow. If you are to build, do not have anything to do with somebody who decides to be planted. That's why you always hear me say it in this church that you must be very, very careful of the kind of people that you come in company with. Why? Because they have a very subtle way of redefining what God has said to you. And you will not know it. You will just start acting in accordance to what they have said, and you despise what God has said to you. The most dangerous ground. Very dangerous. It can cost you your destiny that you underestimate God's word. And life has proven over time that if you try to almost want to make God's word return back to him empty, it will rather make you empty on earth so that that word will come to pass. And that's not the space I want for anybody. Whereby it is wheelchair that reminds you that you have been called to be an evangelist. That it is blindness that reminds you that you have been called to build relationships. Mark chapter 7 verse 13. It says, thus you have nullified the word of God by the traditions that has been handed over to you. Some believers are even so quick to weigh God's word with the opinions of men. I just give thanks to the Lord that he has helped me over time never to run on these shadows. Whereby he says a thing to me, then I'm comparing it with what certain men said. Because the truth of the matter is, destiny is a personal destination. Are you with me this morning? It's a personal destination. I used to say to those who always want to get married and all of that stuff, I said, number one, you already know God does not choose for people. So whoever is telling you that God chooses for people, or there's an heaven-ordained wife for you, the person is just using your life to play Ludo. Because the day you provoke that heaven-ordained wife, she'll still slap you. Then you ask questions. So I used to say to them that in your coming together, we need to understand certain things. That on what ground are you guys coming together? The joining. The relationship. The opinions involved. Who's doing the bringing together? That's where I'm really going to. Are you coming to terms with this person because of what somebody said? Are you joining with this person because of what someone said to you? Some even pick their spouse based on what somebody said to them. So this is my response. If you are entering a marriage that you cannot defend with your life, it's not worth it. Did you hear me this morning? If you're stepping into a marriage that you cannot defend with your life, then it's not worth it. The opinions of men don't count. I don't want you on that dangerous ground. Praise God. Underestimating God's word is very costly and dangerous. In fact, life becomes more threatening. Life is already threatening on its own. Life becomes more threatening when you begin to treat God's word as trash or a second opinion. If you come to me for anything, no matter what your passage, the first thing I want to reach out to you and ask you about is, what is the Lord saying? Because what I'm saying does not matter. Is what is the Lord saying? Because his word supersedes mine. So you hear people say, Pastor, it's whatever you said that the Lord has said. No, whatever I've said does not have to mean what the Lord has said. Underestimating God's word is costly and dangerous. Life becomes more threatening. More threatening. You find people commit suicide. Why? They don't have a word. You find people walk out of this faith because they don't have a word. The scripture already proves to us that you cannot taste the goodness of this salvation and turn your back against it. But yeah, you find people, we have Christians today that walk in and out of salvation. Every altar call, they are there. Every happening church, they are there. Every trending word, they are there. Everything that almost appears to look real, they're there. Somebody say with confidence this morning, say, I'm going to be intentional this year. Say it with confidence one more time. Say, I'm going to be intentional this year. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Just to buttress the point, to let you know that underestimating his word is costly and dangerous. See what it says in Hebrews 4 verse 12. He says, for the word of God is alive. That's not the kind of word that you treat as trash. Alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. If you can't play with a blade, why are you trying a sword that is sharp? I was in a church program one day. I'm sure it was a CSE church because... I doubt if they would do that in some kind of some trending churches like that. And the person said, he said this in Yoruba, but let me say it in English. He said, if you know the amount of destiny that is in pains because you have chosen to be useless, he said, the day they catch you, they will kill you. And it's the truth. That a lot of destinies are tied to yours. The people of Israel were going through much pain. The Bible already tells us, he said they were used bitterly. Pharaoh used them bitterly, exhausted them. Now they were in pains because the oppression was much. And yet we had some of them who were praying in their private quarters that God sends them a deliverer. And the answer to that was resting on the shoulders of Moses. Some of you are the Moses for your generation. Some of you are the Joshuas of your generation, but yet you have chosen to be useless. And these guys are still in pains. Just watch it. God opens your eyes and says the person by your side is the one holding the key to your next level. Then you ask the person, what are you doing with your life? Say, Emi Oranyo. It's two things. It's either you die and drop the key, or you, at that point, as I'm talking to you, you open the door. Think about it. Every one of us came to this earth with an appointment. And there's a group of people, there is a nation attached to that appointment that you carry. But this is you underestimating God's word. Can this be true about God? Can this come to pass? Can this really be what the Lord is saying to me? He says the word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So God is telling those people that your destinies, that their destiny is attached to yours. He said your messenger is still useless. So God bless you that person is going to a church like CAC. That's where you hear prayer points like, may my helper not rest until they help me. That's why you're restless. That's why you're restless. Somebody said, I'll do the needful. Underestimating the word of God is to be comfortable with afflictions. Some people like pain. Don't be deceived. Are you with me this morning? Some people like pain. Some people like it. Some people like it when life is just tough. It's proof that they are strong. Some people like difficulties. I remember when I started learning how to play PlayStation and I went to a game house. So I got the pad. A few guys were coming in and they were going to play. And the first day, the owner of the store asked me, he said, can you play this game? I said, well, I just like the game. I believe if you show me what each controllers are for, each buttons, I'll be able to get it. He said, oh, X is for pass. Box is for shoot. The hole, the circle is for loop. Then the triangle is to bring the keeper out. I said, oh, that's not a challenge. So he told me, he said, avoid triangle. You can play with every other one. I said, okay. I said, what's leg over? He showed me. So we started. First game. Of course, you won't expect me to tell you I won. I was trashed. Serious trashing. And you know those are the days when you want to use Nigeria to prove you're in Nigeria. So this guy used Brazil, I used Nigeria. I was completely trashed. So I asked the guy, I said, I can't be wasting money like this now. I've not won any single games this morning. And those are the games when they will say, win three, one free. Do I have guys who did those things there? Good. Play three, one free. So I said, I've lost three. I said, no free. I said, so what do we do? He said, it's your fault. He said, I asked you, can you play? He said, you get it if the controller. He said, for someone like you. He said, don't join them to be playing the difficult ones. He said, there are levels to this thing. He said, play easy. There's easy, there's medium, there's difficult. There's hard. God bless. Sir, you've played game. He said, start with easy. So they put the thing on easy for me. I saw the way Okocha and Kano was moving. I said, no, this is not a game. I had to do that for a couple of weeks before I graduated to the next one, But I realized that there were a bunch of people that started on difficulty. It just made me conclude, some people just like it when it's difficult. I tell you. There is bowl. Somebody just like well water. Have you met people like that? Just like it. He has a car, but he just likes to trek. He's not exercise. So. I just like trekking. They gave you full material clothes. I have no issues with somebody who is wearing slim feet. But listen, if you have to sit down in your room for 10 people to pull out a jeans, why is your life difficult? Why? Your father, mother, brother, sister, gate man, house girl came to pull out one leg. So don't be deceived that you live on a planet Earth where people want things to be amazing for them. Some people like afflictions. So every time you underestimate his word, it tells that you are comfortable with afflictions. Anytime you underestimate his word, it tells that you are comfortable with defeat and disgrace. Underestimating the word of God. Let me show you something in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 verse 5 to 6. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 to 6. If you can put it up on the screen, please. Proverbs 30 verse 5 to 6. It says, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Verse 6, watch this. He said, do not add to his words or rebuke you or prove you to be a liar. So you find some people who just like the realms of lies, where life tells all kinds of things to you. And such a person is just comfortable being defeated, comfortable with disgrace, comfortable with hardship. I just love it when the word of God makes life easy for me. And I'm declaring over somebody's life this morning. You would enjoy ease this year in the name of Jesus. Jeremiah 23, showing you scriptures that tells you how powerful the words can be and not a thing that you should underestimate. Jeremiah 23, verse 28 to 29. Jeremiah 23. It says, let the prophet who has a dream recount his dream. Let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what are straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. Verse 29. He says, is my word not like fire? That's not something you underestimate. That's not something you toy with. That's not something you joke with. If you're scared of curses, then why are you playing little with the word? I see the way people run helter-skelter when it looks like somebody placed a curse on them. But guess what? There is a word that is much more powerful than a curse. He says, is my word not like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? Try take an hammer to Olumorok. They will chain you. Why? Because it's an impossible mission. But he's saying his word is an hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. So this word shatters your limitation. This word breaks every chain. This word opens the bar gate. This word brings you out of the valley. That's not the word that you joke with. These things I'm saying to you this morning, just very, very easy. I just hope, I trust the Lord that it drops in somebody's spirit. And this is just a good time of the year to say it. If the words of the Lord can be described like this, and that is something you take so dear to your heart. I've never seen the opinions of men that sounds like fire or that appears like fire. Said, is my word not like fire? Somebody said, the word of the Lord is powerful. Say with confidence, say, God's word is powerful. So the two scriptures I showed you show that God's word is backed up with fire. God's word is backed up with a force. God's word is backed up with his hand, which signifies his presence. So if you choose to disregard those words, then the disappointment of life is a choice that you made. I put it here this morning. I said, engaging life with excuses will always birth consistent disappointment. Oh, Pastor, not that I don't believe that thing that the Lord has said, but I just want the Lord to put one or two things in order. You know, the day I was shocked in life was the day my pastor used to say to me, he said, God will not see another thing to you until you've done the last thing. Are you with me this morning? He would not see another thing to you until you've done the last thing. Now, the challenge we have is that many Christians always project the last thing that he has said as something difficult. Listen, God will never engage you with difficulties. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. So it sends you on a mission to go do something, just assume a ministry. It sends you to go start a church, sends you to go stand the ministerial stuff. And the first thing you're thinking of is the people that will come. No, what you should look out for is the word to tell the people, because he will bring the people. He will bring the people. He will. He gives you a song, and you're so concerned about how the song will trend. That's where you missed it. That's where you missed it. I've realized that many powerful gospel songs that are trending, The intention of the person who wrote the song was not just about training, it was just to impact their generation. And many of these songs comes out from the place of fellowship. But if the first thing you are looking for is, how will this thing go global? The question to ask is, who gave it to you in the first place? Is the person a local God? If it was given to you by the God of the universe, then the universe will hear it. Are you hearing me this morning? If he gave you any gift and it's from the God of the universe will hear of it. Stop thinking about the universe. He has the universe in his hands. He has it. So you find people making excuses. Pastor, can the Lord wait for me? I want to be done with school. I want to get married. I want to do this. I want to do that. So Father, sometimes I laugh at ladies who say they will not step into what God has asked them to do until they get married. For marriage is one of the most busiest ground. You heard about the woman that wakes up at 5 a.m. in the morning to cook for her husband? How many of you heard about it? That's to tell you the kind of strange men that we have. They're sitting beside men that are strange. No man jokes with his bed. So marriage is an excuse. Health is an excuse. Finance is an excuse. No. It just tells that you are comfortable with consistent disappointment. Everything that has caused you to be disappointed before now, by the virtue of God's word, you're delivered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I get a big amen? Amen? So as I close, I just want to show you some amazing things about God's word that you might have never considered. Number one, the word of God has no ingredient of shame in it. That's a good place for you to understand that if you hold on to this word, shame is far away from you. How do I know this? Romans chapter 10, Romans 10 verse 8 to 11. Romans 10 verse 8 to 11. He said, but what does it say? The word is near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved. Verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Verse 11. Watch this. As the scripture says, let's read it out together. Anyone? Somebody beat your chest and say, I will never be put to shame. There is no ingredient of shame in God's word. I tell you this morning. Even if it's a second close to shame, that word speaks. That word speaks. A great man of God says something. He said, if Jesus was not sure that Lazarus would come out of the grave, he would not even go and visit them in the first place. When the word of God steps in into a situation, there is no ingredient of shame. Anyone! You know, when I read the Bible, I read it with understanding of the Spirit and the capacity of knowledge. How best do you define anyone? How best do you define what? Anyone. You're a THM member? Anyone. You're a CSE member? Anyone. You're a COSA member? Anyone. You're a Daystar member? Anyone. You're a Redeem member? Anyone. Let me help you this morning. You're a Muslim. That's why a Muslim can shout Jesus and the plane is about to crash and God will show up. Have you realized when you were about to fall on the bike and you shouted Jesus, both you and the bike man who is a Muslim? God saved. Anyone. So disregard your position, your title, your family, your background, what it is they could have said about you, the attachment they placed on your head. It says, anyone who does what? Will what? Will never. Somebody say, I'll never be put to shame. Hey, it's not a thing to sit down, hunt. Sign up this morning and say, I will never be put to shame.
Have your say. Have your say.
Number two, the word of God has no ingredient of defeat in it. I remember when I was at Redemption Camp one time, and Pastor Adeboye made a very profound statement. He said, God will leave a fight to get ready for a war. So all you saw was that it looks like they had a fight. No, no. God is prepping for the war. There is no ingredient of defeat in God's word. How do I know this? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 to 4. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 to 4. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 to 4. Now watch this. There is no ingredient of defeat. Somebody say there is no ingredient of defeat in God's word. Now watch this. It says, when you go to war against your enemy and see horses and chariots, these are things that will get you scared. You're mounting the battlefield and what you're seeing is horses and chariots. Just like when the prophet said, he said, may the Lord open your eyes to see those who surround us. They are more than those who is against us. Somebody place your right hand on your chair. Say, those who are against me, they are not as close to those who are for me. He says, when you go to war against your enemy and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours. So there's a tendency that the armies of the enemies are greater than yours. What did the Bible say? It says, do not be what? Do not be afraid of them. It says, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, is with you. A pastor said to me one time, he said, if you remember the last time he showed up, then expect another one. Oh, if the Lord has not showed up for anybody here, you will enjoy this year. I say you enjoy this year. Man, I've seen quarter to shame and the Lord showed up. Oh, do I have a witness in the house? I've seen quarter to shame and the Lord showed up. I've been trying to ask my mom for a while, like, what song was she singing at USAID? Maybe after today's ministration, I will ask her again if she remember. What song was she singing at USAID? They had prepped the machines. They were going to change my heart. Because they said this thing is acute asthma. For a young age of 6 or 7, I think I was 6 or 7 there. He said, for a young age like this, he said, this boy can't reach 15. They prepped everything. I can't remember what she was singing. The doctor just came in and said, I feel for the young man. Maybe we should just double his Ventolin inhaler. I think he'll be fine. We can manage his health. You know when the doctor said we can manage your health? Sometimes I'm in the bathroom and I'm looking at myself like this. I'll tell myself, I say, Father, thank you that this is a body that has no stitch, no needle or thread has gone through this body. How many of you are just grateful for the body that God has given to you? No needle, no thread, nothing. Fresh. Somebody say, I'm all are fresh. It's fresh. And this I will go to the grave. Fresh body, nothing missing. Somebody say, nothing missing. Oh, say nothing broken. Tell him. He said, who brought you out of Egypt? Who be with you? Verse 2. When you are about to go into the battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. Verse 3. He shall say, hear Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemy. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic. Tap the person as I say, don't panic. Hey, tap the person. I know the issue is goofy. Say, don't panic. Don't panic. The issue is outspread. Tap the person. Say, don't panic. Help that person this morning. Somebody is having outspread. Say, don't panic. Somebody is the iPhone screen that broke. Tap the person. Say, don't panic. You need to see where a lady is crying because of an iPhone screen. On the day somebody told me that iPhone 13 will buy you a plot of land at Shagam, I said, wow. So all of you are carrying plot of land. Say, don't panic. Don't be terrified by them. Verse 4. I love this. It says, for the Lord your God. Somebody look up and say this. For the Lord your God. Somebody say it out loud. Say, for the Lord your God. Is the one. Not your friend, though. not your brother, not your father, not your mother. Say, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. So the person who goes with you determines how you come out of the battle. Who goes with you determines the whole lot. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to battle, to fight for you. You're not even the one doing the fighting. To fight for you against your enemy. And what does he give to you? Shout it out loud. What does he give to you? Give me verse 2. I want to show you something. I want to show you something in verse 2. Watch this. He said, for when you are about to go into the battle, what did he say? Read it out loud. What did he say? You hear me close this morning? The challenge with most Christians is that many of us don't have a priest. He didn't say you going into battle will be the one to go forward. He said the priest. The question to ask is, who amplifies God's word over your life and your destiny? I saw a post on Nathan Abassi's Instagram page. I think he posted it on Twitter, though he took a screenshot on Instagram. And he said, even as a worship leader, as a music minister, you need a pastor. Some of you are running your life and there is no priest. I'm one of those that will say it. I don't have to be the priest. You have to recognize who the Lord has placed as priest over your life. Hear this morning. A lot of problems will bow to a priestly statement. A lot of problems in your life will bow to what? To a priestly statement. This is that year. See, don't join the bad one gun of those that says, know God for yourself. You need a priest. Tap the person by side and say, you need a priest. You need a priest. The priest could be your mom. The priest could be your father. The priest could be your brother. But there must be somebody who amplifies. The person is not speaking. What's the person doing? He's amplifying what the Lord has said. When you go into the battle, the priest shall come forward. Before the priest comes forward, he knows what he's about to say. The Lord has touched the mouth of the priest and filled it with his words. This is not the year where you go about without a priest. Too many Christians. Oh, I can hear God for myself. We know that. But we need somebody to amplify God's word in your life. I know it like I know my name. Every problem, most problems, will bow to a priestly statement. To bow. I can prove it to you in the scripture. John chapter 5. Let's start from verse 1. John chapter 5, verse 1. Many of you know the story. The man by the pool of Bethesda. He says, sometimes later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Verse 3. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Verse 4. One who was there, he had been invalid for how many years? 38 years without a priest. Now I see why they say a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Because 38 is close to 4. Was invalid for 38 years. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he has been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Verse 7. Somebody who has been invalid for 38 years. Of course, I would not even expect any other kind of response from him. See what he said. The invalid man replied, I have what? No one to help me into the pool. When the water is there, while I am trying to get in, all you did in 2023, you are trying to get in. This year, when a priest holds your hands, you will get in. Tap the person by the side, get a priest. Oh, tap the person very well. Say, get a priest. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down ahead of me. Verse 8. Then Jesus said to him, Jesus did not say to everybody there. Jesus said to who? Get up. Get up. Somebody say, get up.
Get up.
Say one more time. Say, get up.
Get up.
Pick up your mat and walk. When there is a priesthood over your life, you would enjoy victory on the platform of ease. I put it to you this morning. Don't joke with the place of a priest in your life. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Do not joke with it. I know you heard the word, but you need a priest to amplify that word to you. And lastly, the word of God has no ingredient of sorrow in it. Let's say that together. Say, the word of God has no ingredient of sorrow in it. Isaiah 35, verse 8 to 10. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 8 to 10. Closing with this scripture. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. Verse 9. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beasts. They will not be found there. But only who will walk there, only the redeemed will walk there. Verse 10. Verse 10. And those who the Lord has rescued. Somebody say, the Lord has rescued me. Oh, say, the Lord has rescued me. I wanted to come from your spirit man this morning. Say, the Lord has rescued me. Those who the Lord has rescued will return. They would enter Zion with singing. Oh, this year you are entering your Zion with singing. I speak over you as a prophet this morning. You are entering your Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be the crown on their heads. Somebody's crown is changing this year.
Amen.
Ah, put your two hands on it. Say, my crown is changing this year. Ah, do it with confidence. Say, my crown is changing this year.
The reason why they did not fear you last year was because it was the wrong crown that was on your head. It was the wrong crown. If the crown on your head proves that you are from the lion of the tribe of Judah, who is a goat talking to you? He said they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be crowns on their head. Now watch this. It says gladness and joy will do what? See, let me tell you something. There are levels with blessings. So. There are levels with what?
Blessings. Holy Spirit, help me this morning. Let me explain. When it says goodness and mercy shall follow you, that means every step you take, goodness takes the same step, right? That means if you stop, what happens to the goodness? It stops. If you crawl, what happens to the goodness? It's crawl. You skip, what happens to the goodness? It skips. Watch this. Those that the Lord have rescued. Those that the Lord have rescued. You know they follow them. What does he do? Overtake. Ah, somebody will enjoy an overtaking kind of blessing. Did you hear the testimony of the young man this morning? You heard the testimony? You know what the young man said to me? He said, Pastor, your joke, I will not take it lightly anymore. He told me how he was looking for a house. And I said to him, do you know you can get this thing for free? And I was just joking. I was joking in the car. I said, you can get this thing for free. I said, Pastor, this is about him. Who will give it to you for free? I'm declaring over somebody this morning. That thing you are saving money for, you get it for free.
Yeah.
That thing you are saving money for, you get it for free.
Amen.
He said, you know, I said, you know, you can get it for free. I said, okay. He casually said, amen. In the course of the week, that's why I advise you this year, no matter what you are passing through, don't turn off your phone. It's a prophetic statement. Yes, write it down. This year, no matter what you are passing through, what did I say? Yes, download Truecaller so you'll know if it's CUDA or OP or PAVE. Amen. Somebody called him and said, hey, come, let's do this and do that. And he went. Another thing I learned from his story is that this is not the year to stay silent. Be outspoken. Opportunities does not have a lasting label. Anyone that taps into it gets it. Anyone that taps into it gets it. They took him to the place and he asked the man. He said, sir, what's all this space? I said, it's just space. I said, can I be doing my business here? He said, what are you looking for exactly? He said, I need a flat. I need accommodation. I need this. He said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I have a house somewhere. I took him there. Saw the place. I've never seen somebody give somebody a free accommodation with security. With generator. Painted the place. Asked him if he wanted anything. I told him, I said, like joke. The person will ask you, do you want a car? And all of these things I'm saying to you did not happen in one day. That's what you call overtaking kind of blessing. I speak again under the function of the Spirit. That which you are saving money for, you will get it for free. Let me tell you something. I am being honest as a pastor this morning. There are some kind of testimonies you hear from your member. You go to your prayer room and say, God, remember me. I'm telling you. You say, God, remember me. In this Ibadan. If it was Lagos, I would ask him, is the person married? Maybe they're about to initiate you. He said, he's married. He said, pastor, he gave me securities. I have a house to myself, 2-bedroom, painted. He said, pastor, he just called me and said, the light in this area is not good. Do you want a generator? I'm sure there are many other things they gave him, but he didn't want to tell us so that we won't feel jealous. I'm sure. I'm saying it again on this exalted altar. That which you have been saving money for, you will get it for free. In the name of Jesus. Have your seat as I close. It says, gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighting does what? Flee away from them. Somebody say, there is no sorrow in God's word. There is no sorrow. It's a scripture. I'm not that pastor that will come and preach to you and just say this out of my head. It's a scripture I proved to you. So the question to ask yourself is, who rescued you? If you rescued yourself, you would not partake of this. If it was men that rescued you, you would not partake of this. What did he say? Let's read it again. He said, and those who what? Those who the Lord has rescued. Somebody say it and let the heavens hear it. Say, the Lord has rescued me. Say, the Lord has rescued me. That's why you must not filter your life around the opinions of men. That's why you must not. That's why you must not. That's why you must not. I beg of you this year. This is not the year where you are trying to archive the opinions of men. You have no business with it. Scripture says, my son, if sinners entice. You know what it means to entice? It will look sweet. It's not every dinner you go to when your Lord has already set the table before you. It's not. It's not. Somebody asked me, say, why do you like your house? Because I have everything there. I have it there. There's nothing you want to give me in a party as a souvenir that is useful in my house. I've hardly even seen a party where they even share something that makes sense. I'm looking for a party where souvenir will be laptop. That's the one I want to go for. The few ones I've gone, my wife, I've not even seen anything. Bag, sieve, spoon, cup. Broom, handkerchief, face towel, matches. That's what some people are buying at Shoebi for. Say, God forbid this year. Buy at Shoebi of 50,000 and give me matches. We'll burn down that reception. Because you need to see the way some people pressure their tailor. Say, it's 50,000. Material ain't go to Gil. He must share that Daniel. Go to Macho. Then you get to the party first, they will not serve you on time. The momo is half-baked. It's not full-size momo, it's half. The chicken, you are struggling. They intentionally put a hard one. The drink will not come on time. And when they are sharing souvenir, you are struggling. And they throw that basket at you. And inside the basket, you are seeing one spoon, omorogun, and matches. But for Somebody say, not this year. Hey, tap the person by say, not this year.
Gladness and joy would overtake them for those that the Lord has rescued. So I recap again. The word of God has no ingredient of shame. The word of God has no ingredient of defeat. And lastly, the word of God has what? No ingredient of sorrow. So you can go to bed and sleep. That this year, 2024, I'm not just speaking as a prophet. I speak as somebody who knows it. You will never see shame. I'm speaking to those who the Lord has rescued. You will not be on your seat. I'm declaring this morning, you will never see shame.
We believe you have been blessed by this audio podcast, and we never like to close without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you say this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart today, and I am making you the Lord of my life. Amen. Congrats. You are now a child of God. Thank you for listening and downloading Tamiwa Oluwen Podcast. We want to take over nations for Christ. Partner with us today by visiting www.heavennation.org/donate. Kindly subscribe to get update of new messages and share with your friends and families. We love you and we celebrate you.